hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Well, COVID-19 has certainly changed the way that we live our lives, isn't it? Even at level two, as we get out and about and enjoy connecting with people and doing some of the things that we enjoy doing, we're having to sign in and out, we're having to hand sanitize, we're having to keep our social distance. There are new cultural norms that we now have to follow and a part of the way that we now live our lives in New Zealand. You know, and every crisis does that. Every time we face a crisis, it highlights something that we were relying on that maybe isn't as secure as we thought it was. Whether it be buildings in an earthquake, or whether it's our laws around gun control, or whether it's our hygiene standards when faced with a global pandemic. Crises highlight how we need to reevaluate our values, our priorities, and just our general behavior and the way we think. And in this series that we're looking at over the next few weeks of transforming culture, we're looking at exactly that. How, as we go through this crisis, there is an opportunity for us to bring the values of the kingdom of God, the life of the kingdom of God, to the culture around us. As our culture is starting to reevaluate, well, what do they value and where is their security? There will be opportunities that we will have in conversations in the coming weeks and months that we can capitalize on, that we can use to bring something of God's life to other people's lives. But how do we go about that? So that's what we're looking at in this series, of being aware of the culture that we're in and then being aware of the culture that God has placed in us and how we bring that culture to bear on the world around us. The book that we're looking at as kind of our basis for our study in this is the book of Daniel in the Old Testament. It's set 600 years before Christ, but in many ways a very similar situation to the one that we find ourselves in, where Daniel and his friends have been taken from Judah, a place and a culture which was familiar to them, that honoured God and the Jewish faith, and taken into a completely different culture, where they didn't have the opportunity to share their faith like they would have, or practice their faith like they would in Judah. So they have to constantly think, okay, what does this look like in this new reality? And for Christians in New Zealand, we don't live in a culture that honours God. We don't live in a culture anymore that respects Christianity like it used to. So how do we live in a culture like that, in our families, in our workplaces, or just generally as citizens in society, where God isn't respected, but where we still hold on to religious values? And so this is a situation that Daniel and his friends faced in Babylon. About 20,000 Jews were taken to the Babylonian kingdom, and a few of them were selected to serve in the royal court. And that's what we looked at in Daniel chapter 1 last week. And so if you haven't caught up on that, you can go back and have a look at that one. Daniel and his friends are brought into the royal court and given the choice of whether to engage in the Babylonian culture and how they would engage in the Babylonian culture. They proved that through wisdom and through devotion to God, they could navigate a way through the situation they're in, where they could both honour God as well as fulfil the responsibilities of the training that they were undergoing. Now we sort of fast forward about 3 years down the track, where these guys have finished their training. They're not really given the opportunity to advise the king that much yet, so they're just kind of keeping up their skills and training and doing what they can and ready for the day when they're required. Now on the flip side, in the palace is Nebuchadnezzar. He's a king, and probably we'd call him a dictator in today's terms. He pervaded over a huge empire at the time. It was the great superpower of the then known world, stretching from modern day Turkey right through to Iran, right down through into Egypt. And so he thought he was a pretty cool guy. And he thought he was a pretty powerful guy. And he was. No one could question him. He had complete authority and power. And for the last few years, things had gone pretty well for Nebuchadnezzar. He had conquered a lot of territory. Everyone was submitting themselves to him, or well, that he was aware of anyway. And everything seemed to be going well. He had more money than he knew what to do with. Actually, it was around this time that King Nebuchadnezzar built the great Hanging Gardens of Babylon, which are famous in the ancient world, one of the seven wonders of the world. So he achieved so much. But then he faces a crisis. And in Daniel chapter 2, which is the passage of scripture that we're going to look at today, we're looking at how this crisis impacted Nebuchadnezzar and how it gave Daniel and his friends an opportunity to speak into Nebuchadnezzar's life. But before we get to the scripture, let's consider the context of what's going on here and place yourself in the situation that Daniel's in. You've got this king, Nebuchadnezzar, who thinks that he has the power to do whatever he wants to do. He doesn't listen to anyone. He just does what he wants to do, and what he wants to do seems to be working out okay. And so he has no need of you. What do you do in that context? You know, what Daniel and his friends do is they prepare. They keep a consistent lifestyle of devotion to God, whether praying. They keep their study up. They keep practicing the skills that they've learnt. And then they just patiently wait. And as I was considering that this week, I was thinking how the world around us, the culture that we're in, is very similar to Nebuchadnezzar. And basically, unless we're facing a crisis, life is pretty good. Like we live in the Western world, so we enjoy luxuries that other parts of the world don't enjoy. We generally have enough money to put food on the table and do the things that we want to do. And when you're connecting with people in a affluent Western culture like this, it's very difficult sometimes to get through to them. I have a person who's close to me, and I've been praying for him for years. And I've always been thinking, okay, how am I going to get through to this guy? Because he's self-sufficient. He has everything he needs. Life is going generally pretty well for him. He has enough money to buy everything that he needs to buy. And he kind of looks at me and goes, well, why do I need your Christianity? Why do I need God? But then a number of years ago now, he faced a situation where his marriage broke up. And yeah, then he was suddenly a whole lot more open. And in that phone call where he phoned me and shared with me how his marriage was finished, I said, oh man, that's really so sad. And we talked about it, and just in the conversation, I could just see that he was a lot more open to receiving some of the things that I believed and some of the values that I held that he hadn't previously been open to. And so in the situation that Daniel and his friends find themselves in is a situation that we often find ourselves in, where we want to speak into the culture around us. We want to speak into people's lives around us, but they're just not open because they're happy as they are. And so sometimes we just have to wait. We just have to prayerfully wait and be patient for God to bring about an opportunity for us to speak into their lives. And that often can be in a crisis, where maybe it's a marriage difficulty or financial difficulties, or something like COVID-19, where all of a sudden they are rethinking things in their lives and reevaluating their values and priorities. And it's then that we have that opportunity to go, hey, what about this? And that's exactly what happens to Daniel and his friends. So Nebuchadnezzar, his crisis is this that we read about in the first part of Daniel chapter 2. He has a dream, and in the dream he sees an image, a huge idol, a huge statue, but it gets smashed down. And he has this recurring dream, and he gets this sense that Well, this could be me. It could be my downfall and the downfall of this amazing empire that I've created. So this really concerns him. And much like everyone else does in a crisis, he seeks to understand and get more information as to what's going on here and how do I adjust my life accordingly. So he invites some of his advisors in, and they come in, not Daniel and his friends, but some other advisors. They come in and he says, okay, tell me my dream and tell me an interpretation of it. And they go, how do we know what you're dreaming? And they say, this is impossible. No one can do this. Well, being the dictator that he is, he gets so angry and so he decides to kill all his royal advisors, including Daniel and his friends, even though they had nothing to do with it. He issues this decree. So let's pick up the story in Daniel chapter 2 in verse 13. We read this. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went to the king and asked for more time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from God, from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men from Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. So then Daniel goes on to worship God. He goes to the king. He says, King, this is the dream that you've had. God has revealed it to me. This is not the skill that I have. God has revealed, the one true God has revealed what this dream is and the interpretation of it. He gives the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is amazed. He's like going, wow, how did you know that? That's amazing. That's exactly the dream that I had. And then he receives the interpretation of it. And it is, you know, a bit humbling for Nebuchadnezzar because it does foretell Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian kingdom's demise. The point of Daniel chapter 2, and I encourage you to read the whole chapter if you can, the point is that God gives Daniel what he needed to change the culture that he's in. He gives Daniel the gift of interpreting a dream. Now for us, what God may give us to engage in the culture that we're in could be quite different. We probably don't need the interpretation of dreams. But you'll be in situations and conversations with people where you just need that word of wisdom, that insight, or that attitude, or that perspective that no one else can bring. And if you're listening to God attentively, if you're aware of his promptings, if you're looking for those opportunities, God will give you something if you wait on him. Now, sometimes we've got to be very patient for that opportunity. It could be years in the making, but when it comes, we need to be ready. So like Daniel and his friends, the first thing that we need to be aware of is that we need to be prayerfully ready to engage in our culture when a crisis comes along. Because it's when those crises come along that people begin to reevaluate things and we get the opportunity to speak into our culture or speak into people's lives. Now, as you read through the book of Daniel, and in particular chapter 2 here, you'll see that when Daniel stands before the king, the first thing he does is he gives credit to God. He says, look, this isn't my doing. This is God. He's trying to use the opportunity to point Nebuchadnezzar towards the one true God. The other thing that he does is he has a lot of courage in coming before the king. Remember, he could lose his life. This isn't a king that suffers fools. If he doesn't like you, you're going to the gallows. You know, like it's all over. So it took a lot of courage for Daniel to stand before the king and say, hey, by the way, this is actually a dream about your demise. Like, I don't know about you, but that would be a pretty scary thing to do. So we see that he gives credit to God. We see that he has courage. And the third thing that we see is Daniel is very clear. And what I've discovered when you've been praying for an opportunity to speak into someone's life for quite some time, and that opportunity comes your way. You need to be really clear, and you need to have courage, because you know those opportunities aren't going to come your way all the time, and you may just have a couple of minutes to speak into someone's life. Many years ago, when I was 21, I was traveling around the world, and I was on a flight from London to New York. And as we're halfway across the Atlantic, we broke a cockpit window. And then that began to crack. There's two layers to a cockpit window, apparently. The outer window cracked, and then the inner window began to crack in the cockpit. Well, this is a pretty serious issue, because if it cracks further and the window breaks out, of course it sucks the pilot and out, and yeah, that's not too pretty for the rest of the plane. So what they immediately did is they dropped the plane from about 30,000 feet or wherever we were to about 10,000 feet to reduce cabin pressure. So it was, you know, we're just sitting in this plane minding our own business, and all of a sudden the plane just drops into this pretty quick dive. And of course everyone starts freaking out a bit. And the guy beside me was a pharmacist from New Zealand, and he was going to a pharmacist conference in Florida, and I can see him just grabbing the armrest and just having a bit of a freak out. So I just start talking to him, and I say, look, you know, how are you going? You know, it'll be okay. And he's going, well, how do you know that? You know, this could be it. This could be, you know, it could be all over and all that sort of thing. So he kind of looks at me and he goes, so why are you so calm? And I said, well, you know, I know where I'm going. You know, it's kind of one of those moments in a crisis where you have an opportunity. And he goes, ah, what do you mean by that? And he goes, and I said, well, you know, I'm a Christian, and hey, I don't want to die. I've got a lot of life to live. But hey, if this is it, at least I know where I'm going. Oh, I don't know about all that stuff. Well, we did survive, obviously. The plane didn't crash. And for the next half an hour or so, we had this very interesting conversation about God and life and priorities and where you go after you die. You know, that's what a crisis does. It gives us the opportunity sometimes to speak into a situation that we wouldn't otherwise have. And when we do, sometimes we can see a shift in culture. We can see people reevaluating things and starting to be a little bit more open to their values, to changing their values and their priorities. So coming back to Daniel chapter 2, we see this. We see that Daniel and his friends had prepared well for a crisis. They had stayed in a close relationship with God. They devoted their lives to prayer. They were patient. They were just seeking that right opportunity to be used by God to speak into the king's life. When that opportunity came, they made the most of that opportunity. They gave credit to God. They were courageous in their conversation, and they were very clear. Now God uses this. God uses the courage that Daniel has and the skill that Daniel has to shift Nebuchadnezzar's thinking. And Nebuchadnezzar, for the first time, honors Daniel and honors the God that revealed the dream to Daniel. There's a little bit of openness now with Nebuchadnezzar to who God really is. So a shift in culture is taking place. And that's the opportunities that will come our way too. Whether it's just a shift in culture in an individual, or whether that's a shift in culture with a group of people, or even wider than that. When we're prepared, when we have the courage to step out and be used by God and use what God has given us, it will make a difference. It will shift the culture. So how chapter 2 ends is Nebuchadnezzar worshipping God and honoring Daniel and his friends. And by the way, he doesn't put all the other advisors to death. So Daniel ends up saving a whole lot of people's lives in the process. So as we head into COVID-19 and the new reality that we are facing, where people might be reevaluating their lives and asking some big questions around what they prioritize and what they value. And as we engage in those sort of conversations, let's be prepared. Let's have courage and clarity as we have those conversations with people around us. And here's the question that I have for you today. As you are beginning to get back to work and connect with a few more people and you're starting to talk about everything that we've been through, what are the questions that are coming up? And are those questions that you're prepared to answer? Maybe you can help facilitate some of those questions, like asking, how are you doing? And how are you coping with the new reality? And what do you think about all this? And has it made you rethink about what you value and how you're going to live your life differently? So be prepared with some of those open-ended questions that might spark a conversation that takes you down that track. Now, as we've said before, especially when it's someone that you're close to, a family member or a work colleague that you've worked alongside for many years, you've really got to pick the moment to do that, and you have to be patient. Let's not be, you know, so overly zealous that we get ahead of what God's doing. But let us be prayerfully ready for those opportunities that come our way. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says this: always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do all of this with gentleness and respect. You know, Daniel does this. He still respects the king. He's gentle in his approach. He's confidently humble. And that's the approach that we need to take with the culture around us as well. Let's not ram things down people's throat. Let's be gentle, let's be wise, but let's be prepared. Let's be prepared to have those conversations that may be being had at the moment around this particular crisis that we're facing. And as we do, as we have some of those conversations, maybe we'll have some incredible opportunities to see that transformation of culture in people's lives or in our workplaces or even further afield than that. So I pray that as you get out and about and connect with some more people this week, that you take some of these lessons that we've learned from Daniel to heart and you're prepared to give an answer for the faith that you have. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that in your kingdom, there is righteousness, there is life, there is truth. And Lord, we thank you that that truth, that righteousness, that life has changed our lives. And we so desire for that to be extended into the people's lives around us. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll give us those opportunities to share who you are with others, to bring a different perspective to the one that they might be currently in. Lord, that we would use the opportunities, especially those crisis opportunities that come our way, and that we would make the most of them. Lord, let us go in the knowledge that you've empowered us to do this. We won't be on our own. You'll be there with us. You'll give us the words to say. You empower us with what we need in that moment, just like you empowered Daniel and his friends. And Lord, we pray that the results would be the same, where those that we share our faith with would begin to be open to who you really are and allow their lives to be transformed by the one who can truly transform their lives. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.